Jen.
Hey, Jeffrey.
You know, I was on iTunes yesterday, and I'm pissed.
Why are you pissed?
They deleted some of our stuff because it's, quote, too old.
It's because we produce so many episodes. Oh. They only keep a certain amount. I don't know what that amount is.
So here's the deal.
Yeah?
I talked to Doug, I talked to Nada, and we are going to get some of those episodes back because they were classic.
Love it.
And we're going to set them out again so that our diehards can take advantage of that wisdom that seemingly is off the air, but it's not.
Well, let's do it right now, like with this episode.
Cool. Let's
go. All right. Take a listen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Motivation Monday. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, your motivator for this Monday to try to put a few more bucks in your wallet where it belongs. I'm joined.
Hello. Hello. I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. And this is Seller Die, the world's premier sales and personal development podcast. We are so glad you're here for our Monday motivation episode.
And let me tell you what we got today. You know who we are. I hope you do. I'm the author of The Little Red Book of Selling and The Sales Manifesto. Jenny is the author of we have sound effects. And Jenny is the author of Sales in a New York Minute. But we have something way more important than us today.
We do.
We have a couple of people all the way from the West Coast, thousands and thousands of miles away. We're talking about two wonderful people who have just started a new program, a brand new book, a B2B sales company. I personally know Max Altshuler for a long, long time. He's like a guy, only more intelligent. And he is the co-author of a new book on sales engagement. It is one of the fastest growing companies in the country. But let's talk about Mark Kozlow and Max Altshuler. Can they join us now? Are they anywhere around where they can join us?
Bring them in.
They've dropped out of the chat for some reason. Just kind of keep going.
Oh, no. Okay. We're going to wait for them to come back. But just so you know, they both co-authored a book called How the World's Fastest Growing Companies Are Modernizing Sales Through Humanization at Scale. And they're going to be talking to us about that today. In the meantime, Ron, what's up? Are you still snowed in? What's going on? Alex, hello. Roger. Alex, like, does so much behind the scenes.
I see him now.
Roger, Cynthia, what's going on, guys? Hey, hey, hey. Say hello in the chat. We are glad you're here. Max and Mark have joined us. So you missed your introduction. Sorry, we dropped you for that.
But we talked about your new book today. Internet spotty, but we're good now.
Okay, right, actually said nice things about you behind your back.
Cynthia, hey, Cynthia. Aww. Yeah, we did. We did.
And we talked about your book, but could you hold it up so everyone can see it? Is that possible? Do you have your book with you? And what's the title? It's Sales Engagement. And what Max is talking about is how you engage the other person to where they're actually interested in you.
Yeah, how you engage your prospects and your customers in modern sales. So your buyer, their preferences are changing, the channels that they're on are changing, and the future is in omni-channel sales and is in A-B testing and is in sales as a science. It's actually allowing you to do things in a data-driven way, and using a sales engagement platform and having a sales engagement strategy allows you to actually treat it as such instead of just, you know, going on solely on gut or intuition.
And normally we do these interviews in a recorded way, but today we're doing it in a live way.
Woo!
So there's no chance for you to go back and say, I wish I would have said. So I'm challenging you. This is huge. Don't fuck it up. But I want you to make certain that you get your message through to your potential buyers and your customers, because they want to love you the same way our
no
seller
pressure.
Diehards love us.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure whatsoever.
Well, I was going to say, Jeff, you get this, man. Like, I remember the very first sales book I read as a seller was The Little Red Book of Selling. And you know one reason why I actually got through it is because every chapter is like 2 pages and it has 20 pictures in there. And I engaged with the book and it taught me that, hey, listen, you don't have to be a stupid, boring seller that just goes around and peddles your product. You can think creatively and bring your own little personality into the sales cycle. And so, like, you get engagement because you wrote a book that's engaging. But unfortunately, a lot of sellers just don't understand that part of being a great seller and part of having a great sales culture and getting great sales results is having like this philosophy built on engaging with somebody else. And that's what sales engagement is it's really that focus and that thought of like, we need to engage with the people we're selling to.
So Mark, can you give us an example of something that you've seen besides Jeffrey's book, like with really good engagement versus something that's like just shit engagement?
Sure. Yeah. And I can, you know, tell, you know, I get a lot of solicitations every week. And I love getting those because number one, like as a VP of sales, if I quit buying shit, like the world dies. So, you know, I got to keep buying stuff to help the world out. That's my like altruistic motivation.
How West Coast.
Right.
Jeffrey, when I buy something later from a jewelry store, I'm going to remind you of that. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
It's my job.
Corporate card.
Right. Thank you very kindly for that, Mark. I'll be forever indebted, but not to you, yeah, to the credit card company.
Literally. But then, you know, the other thing is that's the way I find out about cool new stuff is by salespeople informing me. I'm not out there like trying to discover everything new. But like, so for me, I get a lot of solicitations, as does Max every week. And people that engage with me don't just call me because sometimes I'm busy. They don't just email me because a lot of times they write bad emails. And they don't just try to do social, quote unquote, social selling me online where they do some kind of stupid tactic where they connect with me and start selling with me in 30 seconds. What they do is they know I'm on all those channels. And then they write compelling short messages on all those channels that all kind of build on each other. That would be a way of engaging with someone across many different channels. And they find me where I'm at that moment. If I'm on LinkedIn and I get a message, then I respond on LinkedIn. If I'm at home with my family and I'm like messing around while they're watching TV and I'm on email, then I have it on email. You know what I mean? So it's just, that's just one example of how to engage someone that a lot of sellers aren't thinking about. They just think, well, if I hammer them on the phone, I'll get in touch.
Mm. One of the things that I found interesting in your first statement, which I want to make sure diehards understand, is you consider selling a science. Many mm-hmm. people consider sales an art. That's bullshit. Sales is a science because you engage people in a way that's repeatable, that's already been researched. It is now clashed with one-to-one and data, artificial intelligence, all kinds of things that make the engagement possible. And the engagement needs to be done in a way that's emotionally driven so that you create genuine engagement. Like you can give me data engagement to a point and then it has to be emotional. But selling is a science. If there's an art of selling, it's never letting the other person feel like they're being sold. Mm-hmm. And that's the real challenge. So I want to talk about, you know, you talked earlier about email engagement and I want to know what your feelings are about that.
Oh, hold on one second. I'm sorry to interrupt, because before you answer this question, we have a lot of new people who just joined us on the Facebook group, and I want to make sure that they know who you are. So today we're joined by Max Altshuler and Mark Kosoglow. They co-authored the book Sales Engagement, How the World's Fastest Growing Companies Are Modernizing Sales Through Humanization at Scale. And they, Mark is the VP of Sales at Outreach, and Max created Sales Hacker. You may have known him when he came on our show while he was with Sales Hacker, and now he is the VP of Marketing for Outreach. So thank you guys for joining us. Welcome, welcome. I love holding up the book.
And may I say personally, nice hair, you bastards.
Guys, if you're joining us live on Facebook, if you have a question for Mark or Max, can you pop it into the comments? Because we want to be sure that they answer your question. And by the way, Greg Fox is eating his TC crimpets while watching.
Oh, my
God. And he wants you to know that.
Greg Fox is owns a limo company in Philadelphia. We've been friends for, 30 years or more. He still looks pretty young, even though he balded a little bit. But he is a great guy. And if you're looking for a ride in Philadelphia, then Greg Fox is your guy. Two G's, by the way, in Greg.
Yeah.
I would challenge you, both you guys, Max and Mark, that I probably have underwear older than both of you.
Oy.
But you're doing it the new way. And you feel that the new way is better than the old way, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Here's the main thing, Jeff, is like science or sales is both art and science. The art is relationships. the people-to-people connection, the making you be a real person selling to a real person, that's an art. There's no way to science that. Like, if you figure that out, let me know. And my relationship with my wife will like 10X, buddy. But, you know, the science is how you get to the relationship, right? So that's the difference.
Yeah, that makes sense. Totally.
Not to me. But that, go ahead.
What?
You gotta tell me why, Jeff. That don't make sense.
Because there are strategies to build relationships that are repeatable and learnable. Like I know I want to engage somebody emotionally, regardless of who it is,
mm-hmm.
and I know I want to engage somebody in a way where they respect the value that I'm offering them, and those are even though they seem like they're arts, they're actually sciences because it's repeatable. The art is like one of a kind,
and it's something you can learn.
Oh, without a doubt. So I'm only challenging. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm saying we're both right. How about that? But I'm going
to. That sounds like a cop out, but I'll take yeah, it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to be kind to you.
I may have misunderstood what you guys said, but I'll let it go. You asked a question about email.
Yeah. Engage me in email. By the way, for those of you just joining, there's been a bunch of new people joining. We are talking to Max and Mark, and they – can you hold up your book, please?
Oh, yeah.
You can never hold your book up enough. And, Mark, if you would point to the book again, I love that. That is – we'll send you that photo.
Oh, yeah, for yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah,
no, not
for
that
sure.
finger. but Sales Engagement is their new book, printed by John Wiley. But Max and Mark don't know it yet, but they're going to be responsible for selling it, not the bookstore. And I'm
book is flying off the shelves already.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Awesome.
But it does help that we are a sales company.
And it does help that.
Yes,
and
for
we're,
sure.
I'll tell you what's going to help even more. We're going to put your book in the show notes. And oh, yeah. About 100,000 people are going to see it this month.
We already put it in the Facebook group in case people are interested in getting it right now. So let's talk about engaging people on email. What's the best way to do that?
Yeah. So you need to make sure you are A/B testing everything that you do. So you reach out to somebody and you are A/B testing everything from your subject line to the content to the CTA. And what that means is if you send, you're going to send a batch of emails out to a certain ideal customer profile, certain persona. You want to make sure that you're sending two different subject lines so you can understand open rates. You want to make sure you're sending different copy internally so you can understand the CTA and the effect that that's going to have. And you want to make sure you're A/B testing this over time. So when you find a winner, then that's your new standard. And then you have another variable that you're A/B testing it against. And Mark's team is doing this day in and day out. What are some of your best practices that your team's currently doing?
Yeah, so I think the best practice is simply this, is like, don't trust your gut. Like the minute you start trusting your gut, you're in trouble. What you need to do is you
Mine's
need to come
oversized
up with a hypothesis.
At the moment, but yes, I agree with you.
you need to have a hypothesis. Like one, it would be, I want to use one word subject lines, or I want to use emojis in my subject line, or I want to do like seven word subject lines that are very descriptive. And then you test one against the other and the data will tell you what works. So it doesn't matter what you like. What matters is what works. Like if you want to make money, do what works. If you want to do what you like go find something else to do besides sales.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay. I'm going to Paris. No, let me share this with you. There is, I love subject lines. I'm real good at them. I like them. We don't often A/B test. We often just send out a subject line to get response from our mailing list. And maybe we should use two different subject lines just to see which one mm-hmm. flies and which one doesn't. But if it's a shit subject line, I don't want to waste my email on somebody that I don't think is going to respond as well. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe we don't have the greatest subject lines on the planet, but
I guess we'll find out when we start A/B.
We're
going to
A/B in them. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
thank you for that piece of advice.
Well, my guess, Jeff, is you got a couple good ideas. You don't test a shitty idea and a good idea. You test two good ideas.
Yeah, but I agree with that. But you know, sometimes your good idea turns out to be shitty, so you have to be careful of that.
So in the book, we actually have a chapter on A/B testing.
Oh, wow.
And as a company that sends sales emails, we've been able to anonymously run the data on, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, and understand, you know, what the common trends are. We're also able to tell you what we do. So, you know, there are things like, there are things that are very misleading. I saw one on LinkedIn the other day. Was like, Mark was talking about one word, subject lines have the highest open rates. It's like, wow. Okay, but you have to elaborate on that. If I sent you an email and the subject line was asshole, that would have a high open rate.
But higher, wait a minute.
But you might piss off everyone on your list.
So your A-B test higher than is prick. Not a very good A-B test if like that, if that's the deepest you're going to go. And if you're now then telling everybody that like this is the way to do something, 87% response rate. It's like, no shit. No, everybody's going to respond to you with that. It's not going to be a very nice response. You're not going to close anybody that gets that email. But, you know, it's got a great open rate. So you need to make sure that when you are, you have your hypothesis, but you're also making sure that you're running your A-B test all the way through. And in our book, we give you really, you know, easy ways to make sure you're doing this and doing it the right way.
Is it only open rate or is it also response rate?
Well, they're both. So whether it's open rate, response rate, whatever it is, you need to understand sentiment also. And so it's understanding the entire depth of your A-B test.
Yeah, if they open and they say I'm unsubscribing, that's not good.
That's bad sentiment. That's negative sentiment versus positive sentiment, which is, this is interesting. I want to have a conversation. That's what you should really be testing for. That's why the depth of your A-B test needs to go further than just open rates.
What about click through rate?
Jeff, you want me to tell you a great story about
this?
Yes,
please.
All right. So have you heard that putting just checking in an email is bad?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. We thought that too. We'd heard that too. We decided to test it. All right. So we sent out about 12,000 emails in a very perfectly designed experiment. We have data scientists here that have worked with Microsoft for 10 years.
PhDs.
They're the best. Yeah, PhDs. Yeah. They're best in their field. They designed the experiment. It's completely randomized. If you use just checking in as the first line of an email, you get 83% higher reply rates. Now, you and I would say no way on that. We've actually trained people not to do that, but the data says that we're wrong.
Do they know you or do they not know you?
This is cold outbound.
So I think I think Jeffrey has a good point. Like if someone does know me and let's say they know I'm following up with them on a proposal and I write just checking in, that's pretty different than a random company I've never met anyone at before emailing me to say just checking in.
This is cold outbound. So first is the value prop, you know, 2-3 sentences. Second email, you bump it with a, hey, just checking in, wanted to see about whatever, 2 sentences. Wow. That 83% higher reply rates, which blew my mind, man. I'm sitting in the meeting with these scientists going, that can't be right. But I'm looking at the data.
And that's the thing. The art side of you would say, well, I don't like that. I wouldn't like if someone.
I already deleted it.
Yeah.
But the data side of it, the science side of it says it works.
Wow.
And there is probably, if we sat here and brought in a therapist or something like that and psychoanalyzed it, it could probably get to the root of like why that is.
I could give you mine.
Does the person feel ashamed or something like that? Or does the person feel obligated because you're being a nice person and you're just checking in? So maybe I have to respond. But both of us would sit here and say, I wouldn't like that. It's not like, why does that work?
Cold emails like that, I'm sorry to ruin your data with my one person response, but I usually respond with, please stop checking in.
And I would tell you that's because you're a sales trainer that tells people they shouldn't write that.
So. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
See that? It annoys the hell out of me. Oh, man. Okay, so we have a question right here from Bruce. Bruce says, if you're on all platforms, do you use it for outbound or inbound marketing?
If we're on all platforms, I don't quite understand the question.
Bruce, can you elaborate, if you're still here, can you elaborate on your question and so that we can make sure we get an answer for you?
I think they're talking about if you send out an email and someone responds back, do you use it as an outbound platform and an inbound platform? How do you talked about LinkedIn, I'm doing it on LinkedIn and out, or do you go to another platform after that?
So do I use email as outbound or inbound? Is that what you're saying?
We're going to find out from Bruce.
We're going to wait for Bruce to respond and give us some more info. Wes Wyatt says.
Let's talk about omnichannel for a second. So yeah. We put out this ultimate sales engagement guide where we pulled 884 sales and marketing leaders through Sales Hacker. We teamed up the Bridge Group, Modern Sales Pros, and we asked them what channels they prefer to buy on. We actually have some of the results here in the book. This one, this section specifically about connecting with people on LinkedIn. But what we found is that people still do prefer, no matter what you see on LinkedIn, cold emailing isn't dead. People do prefer email and phone. And and now SMS and voicemail are part of that too. So you really need to understand the person that you're contacting. If I'm selling to a salesperson or an executive, they live out of pocket. They live out of their phones. So I need to be in the places that they are living, right? So where are they probably going to be? They're going to be, I'm going to be able to get them through text. I'm going to be able to get them through phone call or voicemail. I'll probably be able to get them a salesperson through LinkedIn, but maybe not an executive. If I'm selling to an ops person that sits in front of two screens all day at a desk, then calling them or leaving them voicemail might not be the way to go. You might need to get them through an email or through LinkedIn or something else. We also have data from marketers that said the best way to reach them is through direct mail, which is old school, but a great way to still cut through this digital noise that you're seeing. One-to-one personalized video also came up with marketers who like to be engaged a little bit differently than other people. So it's really about their persona and then understanding where they live and then making sure that you are taking an omni-channel approach. And again, science-driven approach to doing so, where you're A-B testing it, you have a sequence set up where it's on day one, you hit them on certain channels on day two, different channels on day three, and the entire thing kind of aligns, it connects. So if you send somebody an email and a connection request on day one, on day two, you call them, leave them a voicemail, and you allude to the email and the connection request. And then when they accept your connection request, then there's a message that happens on LinkedIn followed by the rest of the things that happen in your sequence.
We're talking to Max and Mark. Can you please hold up the book again so our audience who has just joined us know what the hell we're doing? Sales engagement. These are two nice guys that actually are pretty smart guys. Hold on, we're going to take a picture of you, put it into our Instagram story today. Isn't it amazing how the world has progressed with respect to social media? Like the story has now taken over Instagram and Facebook Live has taken over Facebook. It's unbelievable how video-centric. You were talking about one-to-one video, but I have found also that one-to-all video is much more engageable than text to my whole audience.
Oh, yeah.
They'll watch the video.
Yeah.
And they'll watch it gladly.
We actually have how people like to do their research. And one of the mediums is webinars. Hmm. And that ranked pretty highly. And we actually did this by age. So it's funny you say, you talk about how these things are coming out like social and everything. Like my generation is native to texting and Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're selling to somebody under 35, I had Facebook my senior year of high school. And texting probably, I don't know, in like middle school or something like that, if I didn't have a phone yet, but like texting. Mm-hmm. So engaging with somebody under 35, you're now talking to somebody who is native to social networks and text.
Right.
It's a little bit different.
It's in your hands the whole time. Yeah. My daughter, by the way, is doing direct messaging combined with texting.
She's 10.
But she's a Snapchat. That's your next customer.
Yeah.
She's a Snapchat direct messenger and an Instagram direct messenger and occasionally a text. But she'd rather
or FaceTime. She doesn't call me. She FaceTimes me.
Yeah.
So preferred mediums for people doing research on products for age 35 and younger, review sites was number one. Number two was webinars. Number three was one-to-one video. And then forums, ebooks, and white papers with the bottom.
Mm.
Versus preferred media for ages 35 and older. White papers was number one. Oh, one-to-one video was number two. Review sites was number three. Then webinars, forums, and ebooks.
Wait a second. Wow. You go to a restaurant and you go to a white paper, or you go to a restaurant and you go to Yelp?
Well, this isn't for B2C. This is for buying B2B.
I'm in.
Different, slightly different. I'm a believer that B2B follows B2C by about 3 to 5 years. So you see Yelp being very popular in the B2C space. And now you're seeing sites like Trust Radius and G2 Crowd and things like that.
You should read that McDonald's white paper, Jeff. It's baller.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
Big Macs are good for you.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. They contain veggies now.
When they have the commercial, it's always a kid eating an apple instead of a fucking 55 gram fat.
That's what
burger.
My kid eats when we go there, the apples and the yogurt.
So Tom says, thanks for sharing this information. I plan on getting the book. Way to go, Tom. That's awesome. I love it. All right, we're back to Bruce now. Bruce wants to know, so if you're on all platforms, and he then clarified like email, Twitter, LinkedIn, phone, etc., do you use them for outbound marketing or do you use them for inbound marketing? How do you decide? And if you're targeting the prospect individually with specific channels, like not just getting leads, how do you know what to do where?
We use all the channels for outbound. We have things that we do for inbound. So we have our site, we have chat. We actually consider chat a channel in our process. Mm-hmm. So in our keynote at our conference that we had last week called Unleash, we announced our ecosystem, which we call Galaxy, which are all the different applications that hook into outreach. Outreach is your system of engagement. So it allows you to do all the engagement within one single pane of glass. And then we connect into your chat. So if you have a chat bot on your site, like Intercom or Drift or LivePerson or whatever else, you can funnel that through your sales engagement platform, through outreach. Same thing with one-on-one video, everything else. So for inbound, we have chat, we have email, LinkedIn, all that works for inbound, phone. But for outbound, to set up a sequence where you're completely omni-channel, it's all through an outbound process.
I think what's interesting is back when I started sales 20 years ago, there was really only one way that I could communicate with people, and that was on the phone. Mm-hmm. And now people have a choice. And not only do they choose what they like, they choose what they hate. And some people hate the phone. Some people hate email. And what happens is when you limit yourself to a single channel or even a couple channels, you risk alienating everybody that doesn't like that channel.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You have to do multiple channels. So it's all for everything is for everything. It's just, it's a lot more work now as a seller. You got to figure out what works for the people you're going and be there. Otherwise, you're going to eliminate that part of your market.
People love silver bullets. And we actually, we say this a couple of times in our book. It's like, everybody loves a silver bullet. They want to know, just checking in is going to work for every persona every time. And it's like, no, it doesn't happen. There's no such thing as a silver bullet. That's why our goal is to teach people how to do the process and then allow them to do it for their personas and their sales process. Don't just blanket statement something on LinkedIn where one word subject lines have X percent and then everybody goes and does one word subject lines for everything that they do. And it's like, oh, we don't know how to test it. So we're just going to like take this information. It's not going to teach us anything. It's not going to help our team get better. That's what the book is for. The book is to teach you how to run the process and how to turn sales into a science. Mm. So it's repeatable, like you said.
So it's not what you like or don't like. It's what the customer will receive well.
Whoa. Now, there you go.
Let me explain one other thing. There is a silver bullet. The silver bullet was the Lone Ranger's business card. He was arguably the best sales cowboy of all time. He never said his name. He came into the thing, he got the money back, put the guy in jail, rode off in the sunset with the maiden or gave her back to her boyfriend. And somebody at the end of the show said, who was that masked man? And somebody else said, you don't know who that was? That was the Lone Ranger. And this is a guy who came in value first. He provided value to the receiver and engaged every single person all the way to the end of the show when he was able to conquer or overcome or put to use what he promised he would do in the beginning of the show. And that's what a salesperson needs to do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he had customer service. He had Tonto. But Tonto was also the research guy. Tonto was also the guy that scouted ahead and made sure he had all the information that he needed, Kemosabe. And he was the greatest salesperson of all time, cowboy-wise. But he was transferring a message that his business card was so freaking cool. It was the silver bullet. And every salesperson has been looking for the silver bullet since then. And all it means is, where's my value? Where's my service?
Totally. So
yeah, and if you're under 40 years old, the Lone Ranger, Google it, is like a cowboy guy.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
not very PC. I would say also there is one there. I'm totally with you, Jeff. There is one silver bullet. My daddy taught me this a long time ago. It's called work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No,
exactly.
Let me throw this at you. My millennial book, which is coming out soon, called Pick Up the Fucking Phone.
Yeah.
Is exactly what's needed. Like, you're right. Take the book, The Secret, if you own it, and either burn it
Oy.
Or write two words in the back of the book called work hard. Because you're not going to, the Cadillac is not going to appear in your driveway by you eating potato chips on the couch.
Okay, you can't just dream it. You have to do something to make it happen, too. We all agree, I think. So,
not the people that wrote that book.
So, anyway, if you're just joining us, we're not talking about that book. We're talking about sales engagement. And we have Mark and Max here, two of the authors of the book. And they're talking about how you can engage your customers in a better way, which is really cool. But first, I want to say, before we go back to you guys, I want to say a special hello to Isabel Gradowski, who's cutting school today. Hey, Izzy. Jeffrey's granddaughter is here. I love it.
She's 11 going on 43.
Yeah, she just went to this massive slime fest and collected all this slime from different vendors. And Ray just bought your book on Kindle. So thank you, Ray. I think you'll enjoy it. I want to know, for our diehards out there who don't have those PhDs and don't have the researchers on their team.
Or even the understanding.
Yeah, how did they conduct their own studies in a more simplified way to actually get the data they need to engage with their customers better?
Use this and use outreach, and then it's pretty simple. You don't need a team of PhDs. Listen, if you had $0 and couldn't afford the book and couldn't afford outreach, you could probably do this yourself. It'd be super manual.
Yeah,
and it would be pretty tough. But you know, we have our sales engagement podcast, which is free, which will share a lot of information about some of the best practices us and our customers and the people in our space do. There's content on Sales Hacker you can read that's, you know, the kind of like free, maybe like, you know, more junior 101 version of this type of stuff. And then if you're doing it on your own, this is what I did 5 years ago when I was seven or eight years ago when I was the first employee at Udemy trying to build the sales process there, and technology didn't really exist. So I had complicated mail merges that I was doing in Google spreadsheets, and I was running playbooks out of Google Docs, and I was, you know, basically cataloging what my, you know, open rates, response rates, and sentiment analysis was. And I had a team of virtual assistants in the Philippines that were going through my emails and checking these things off within Google spreadsheets. That's why sales engagement platforms exist now, to be able to do a lot of this, the surfacing work for you. Because it's really tough to optimize something if you can't measure it, right? Like, it all starts in measurement. So you got to find a way to measure it. And that's one of the things that outreach does for you. But again, if it's not something you can invest in, then next best thing is maybe, you know, getting some virtual assistants in the Philippines, or just doing a deep dive through your emails every day and understanding, okay, well, this worked, this didn't.
The main problem is that people are like, you know, swayed in the breeze, and they read something on LinkedIn and then they read a book, and they're constantly changing back and forth, and they never pick what they want and then see how it works. And if it's not working well enough, then try something new. They just kind of, they're back to that silver bullet. They're looking for the thing that all of a sudden makes them work half as much and they get twice as many results. And that thing doesn't exist. Well, it probably does exist, but it takes work to get there. And so, like, just pick something and see how it works. Like, monitor the emails that come in. Just get your little sticky note, tally up the good ones, tally up the bad ones as you read them, and then figure out, like, I only got 15 responses. I sent this out to 300 people. That doesn't sound good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just if you just commit to something and then measure how it's going instead of going all over the place, that's the best first step you can make.
When I went to college, I was awarded a DROPOUT award, and which many people have, but I had to leave because I didn't feel that their information was real world. Mm. I didn't feel that they had a handle on what was happening right now. Rather, they were talking about what happened 20 years ago when they were, you know, doing whatever. And I think in today's world, it's literally a day by day world. However, you can't give up too easily. You can't just assume because somebody else says it's going to work that it's going to work, or not work, it's not going to work. And it's really all about what's going to work for you. One of the things that I recommend is that people call their existing customers and find out why they bought. Mm-hmm. That's going to give you amazing engagement and will allow you to engage with others. I have wrote a piece like, show me your last 10 sales and I'll show you the 11th.
And we actually just did this with something that we're releasing. So we're planning a weekend getaway with the two of us where you can come to this resort, lakeside, whatever, luxury place, spend the weekend with us. And we sent a survey out to 300,000 people who know us to find out, okay, what would you be interested in? Which title of this weekend resonates most with you? So we know what to sell to them. What would you like to learn while you're there? What kind of activities would you like to do? And now we know how to market the entire thing if you filled out that survey. Thank you.
And we have thousands of responses.
We have so many responses. It's unbelievable. And now we know exactly what to put on the sales page because we know what people want.
Yeah, we just asked them.
And by the way, some of the results were outstanding. Our event planner thought that everyone would want a cocktail kind of party get together on the first night or on one of the nights. And actually the overwhelming majority response, I think 85%, was that people want low key dinners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just give me a buffet and a beer and let me talk to other people.
Yeah, literally people wrote, just feed me. That was an option.
Yeah. Just feed me. So we learned a lot by asking our customers questions that will ultimately lead to sales answers or answers that involve sales. That's, I think, the easiest way. If you have someone who's in your circle of influence or your sphere of influence and you ask them questions, they'll give you real-world answers. They're not going to,
Yeah, we do that too. It's actually funny. I got an email from AirCall. They wanted me to participate in a blog post they're putting together. And they're like, what is the one thing an SDR should do before they finish their ramp period? And I said, get to know their buyer. I think they always get to know their product. And then their script and their pitch, but they don't get to know the plight of the person that they're selling to. And that was my answer was if you're selling to VPs of marketing, go to your VP of marketing and understand their day to day, understand what makes them tick. So that when you start going to sell to other VPs of marketing, you at least understand what's happening in the day of their life. So you're not sitting there like, hey, can I get 15 minutes of your time, blah, 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 to talk about something that's never going to be a priority to you. It's like, why? I can't prioritize that right now as your own VP of marketing. Why should the person that you're selling to?
Right.
And so I think that's a great way of doing it. If you don't have 10 customers, if you're just starting your business from scratch, go find complementary businesses that aren't competitive that you can go ask. I mean, it's really time to go out there and work. And go find people you can ask these questions to just get in their heads for a little bit, understand what their day to day looks like.
And if you have scratch, like existing customers, I recommend to every sales team that they train at their customer's place of business rather than in a classroom.
Yes.
You go to a customer's place, go to five customers for 5 days and find out why they bought, find out how they use, find out what their objections are, find out what they love about you. And you can go to anybody after that and now you're really up to speed with respect to what works and how they benefit. And now customers only give a shit about profit and they care about what's the outcome going to be of your purchase. And if you're selling me something, I need to see the result or the potential result of it before I ever buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for, you don't buy a shirt because you want to buy it. You buy a shirt because you want to wear it. And that's the challenge. Can you show me the wearable? Can you show me the usability? Can you show me the profitability of this thing way before I buy it? And I may be more persuaded as a result of it that the outcome is going to be great. That's why I try to sell by voice of customer, by testimonial. And that's why Yelp works, and that's why TripAdvisor works, because there's no surprises. I know what I'm going to get before I walk in the door.
Yeah, and by going to visit the customers, it's no longer you just saying that this is how you think that they'll benefit from it. You can actually say, I spent a day with Susie, and this is what she does. And I spent a day with Bob, and this is what he does, and actually talk to specific outcomes, which I think is so much more powerful.
You're right in your book, it becomes human engagement.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, you can test all you.
So,
thanks for sharing that title. thanks for showing the book, Mark and Max. I've never seen that book before, other than 10 times today.
Engagement. I feel like it was a really good cue.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. Sales engagement.
No,
sales.
Do it in when you do it in three dimension. It has much more impact.
Oh my
you
god!
Push the book in, pull the book out.
Just three dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we 3D. Have Steven says, Jeff, you sold me on watching Lone Ranger, and Max and Mark sold me on reading their book. Great job, Greg. So Farad says, I will buy your book today. It's a really very good book. Keep going, guys. Loving what you're saying. This is freaking awesome.
Totally cool.
So thanks, guys.
Greg
Appreciate
has a question. And then we're going to wrap up. Since there is no subject line in a text, what's your suggestions for an engaging way to open up the conversation? And is it okay to follow up via text since there's really no way for the customer to unsubscribe?
Oh, they can unsubscribe. They can block you.
This is what I tell you is we've yet to do a super deep dive on text, but I would say if there's one iffy area for cold outbound, it's texting.
Yep.
You probably shouldn't text somebody cold outbound. So therefore, it doesn't really matter how you start. If you start with a relationship that you're texting into versus trying to create a relationship through text, that can be very difficult.
If text cold is really
text,
good
you cold
for
text
further down the funnel.
Yeah.
So if if the contract's out and it's March 28th and you want to get that thing in by the end of the month, being able to text that person, you have already earned that relationship. You've already built that rapport. Mm-hmm. The contract's out. Text is really good at that stage. I also think that text is good, and it's the iffiest, but if there's other intent data that you can go off of, drawing attention to that, you might be able to link the two. So for example, if you know the person was on your site, or if you've had a conversation with them on LinkedIn, or even if they just commented on one of your posts on LinkedIn or something like that, and then you can't get through to them through LinkedIn or email or anything else, text might be a good last alternative. It is the one that is the most you got to make sure you're not following up too much on there because they don't have an opt out, and it is the iffiest one.
Every deal needs a champion. One of our measures of if you have a champion is, are you texting them? If you're not texting them, then you probably don't have a champion in the deal right now.
I agree. I totally agree. 100%.
Okay, now we're going to have you back on the show. The title of the show is going to be Will You Marry Me? It is the highest form of engagement that I know.
Engagement.
Ooh.
That's a secret word, right?
That is the secret word. Say the secret word and win $100. Okay. But here's the deal. You are among the most interesting guests we have had on Sell or Die. Every single salesperson who is listening that we call diehards that are subscribers to the Sell or Die Network can win as a result of your understanding of the sale because it's deeper than most people. It involves current and past processes. And we're very grateful for having you on the show today.
Thank you so much, guys.
We appreciate you guys. We're looking forward to Outbound and seeing you both there.
We'll see you there.
You will?
Talking more about sales engagement.
Cool. Is Mark going to be there too?
I think he will. I think he's going to be there.
Cool. All right. Awesome. We look forward to it. Diehards, until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Bye.